Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, which Mick McCarthy joined us, didn't he? Well, after a fashion.
Well, sort of, yeah.
You'll hear from him. He's got big plans and he's got a bit of time off.
And the big moment last night was, of course, Roma's third goal. So we'll be hearing from the man who commentated.
Yeah, right? We will. It was amazing. And you'll hear his commentary and indeed a really interesting bit of commentary from Italy. We had a bit of a chat, covered some ground.
Yeah, we talked about last night's football, and then we went on to other subjects. Yeah, Rita Ora.
She's never far from our lips, is she?
That's true.
So, here it all is. Approaching 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. You mentioned Prince William there. The Villa last night. I don't know if you heard Sports Bar, but he phoned.
Did he phone?
Hello, Jason and Andy. William from Kensington here. Big Villa fan.
He
does. He loves it.
Oh, that's tremendous. What was he saying? Well done to Jack Grealish. Terrific finish. I was really pleased.
What a great
goal.
Why
does he suddenly speak like that? And we've heard him speak. It's not like it should be a shock.
You have to speak like that when you ring a football phone in.
Oh, of course you do.
That?
Yeah, you can.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Sam Johnson and the Villa goal had a great game, though. And Cardiff had so many chances. There was so much football last night. I watched the sort of wrap-up of that to catch all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I did what you did. We all turned over. As
soon as the ball
from Liverpool fans, of course.
Of course, they were going to revel in it, but as a contest, it was over at that point, wasn't it?
So we all turned over to Roma. And
Fletcher did us a favour because he said, well, maybe the other game is where they're going to see a shock because it's 2-0.
Yeah, it was good. It was very
sorry,
timely.
Sorry, Darren, but thanks for telling us, but I'm off.
It was massively timely.
He told us at that moment.
And while it lasted, that game, you know, while it was still a contest, City scoring early, it was very exciting and... it's just so frustrating. I hate the way VAR's being used. I hate the delays and all that. But in the end, it's going to have to come. And that's the reason why you have to have it.
Yeah.
Because that was crucial last night. The 2-0 is such a different score at half-time than 1-0.
Sure.
It's just completely changes everybody's half-time talks. It puts real fear into Liverpool, you know. And it was just pathetic that the three blokes there, the
assistant referee, the Harry Potter with his wand,
the linesman and the ref, can't see that. It's like they don't even know the rules.
Yeah.
It was pitiful. The bloke behind the goal, how can he not see that it comes, that the ball's punched by the keeper straight onto Milner and goes back to Sane? Can't be offside. Goals, as Chris Foy said, the goal should have stood, or stood as should. That's right.
It stood as should.
Stood as should.
I meant to say it stood as should.
Yeah. And then we did turn to the other game. It was very exciting, wasn't it? And I was trying to think about Alisson, you know, the goalie. Is that his first name? We must ask Tim Vickery.
No, his name's on the shirt, on the back of the shirt.
Alisson Becker. So that is, well, what's his first name? Becker or Alisson?
It's probably about five or six names in the Palais Stadium.
Alisson Ramses Becker. I've looked it up.
Oh, you've looked it up? Okay, right, fair enough. Well,
his name might be Alisson. I suppose he's like a boy named Sue or something like that.
It was a great performance by Liverpool. And as everybody has quite rightly said, you know, with what they've got up top and the fact they look a lot more resilient at the back now, you're not going to want to play, am I? No one's going to want to play.
Well, Real Madrid won't mind.
Real Madrid, are they all that? I mean,
on their
night, they're fantastic, but then so are Liverpool.
Than Liverpool. Nah, they'll
you,
beat Liverpool.
You can't see...
I cannot see anybody other than Madrid winning the Champions League.
Could you see Liverpool getting to the final?
It depends who they have to play. If they play Roma, I think they can get to the final.
Bayern will be the one that I think would be very interesting, wouldn't it, as a semi-final?
Yeah, well, it would be Klopp against Bayern is fascinating. That's maybe the way it will go. I still think Madrid will win it. I can't see that they don't. They've been getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, it's interesting, though, isn't it? It's great when Barca and Pep lose on the same night if you're a sort of football heathen. It's marvellous. Schadenfreude heaven, isn't it? You know, serves those fancy Dans right. Take that, Guillaume Balague. How do you like them apples, Graham Hunter? I suppose in a way you can understand it because people do... Pep's great, but people do sort of, who love him, sort of shove it down your throat a bit. They do sort of, you know.
I didn't sense that as much as I did the certainly for Barcelona. It would have been terrible had they got a late goal last night because Roma completely deserved to win.
I did say on the show yesterday, and I mean, Hargreaves, a man I often admire.
I know you're a big fan, yeah.
I am. He made the same point that, you know, that Chelsea should have beaten Barcelona. They clearly should have beaten them, and. You know, had he gone for it a bit more, which of course he never does, they probably wouldn't. Had they had a bit more luck, you know.
Well, we'll be chatting again, Balague, very shortly.
You have to be excited. If you're an England fan, you have to be excited about Trent Alexander-Arnold. He coped brilliantly well. Yeah.
Especially as they kind of doubled up on him last night. Yeah, he put him under a lot of pressure.
Excellent. But, you know, we'll never know what would happen if it had gone to 2-0. But that's the way it is.
If you're going to beat, as Klopp has been saying, you know, pound for pound, they're higher in the league. They're a better side than Liverpool. They're a better side than anybody in this country. So if you're going to beat them, A, you've got to bring your A game. And B, you've got to have a bit of good fortune. And Liverpool got both. They played very well in both games, really. They rode it out when they had to. They scored goals in their two. And they had some luck.
They did. They had a massive amount of luck because the first goal in any game, especially in a tight game like that, is crucial.
Yeah.
And they got the first goal when it was offside. And then they had that thing that happened last night.
They had some luck.
Look, they had the luck. That's it. In the end, they still had to take the goals. It was a lovely finish from Salah, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
He's terrific. No, look, he's building a special team. There's no question... They can challenge City next season, especially with Naby Keita coming, as Toby was telling us how brilliant he is. And, things look good for them, you know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will be reflecting on a big night in the Championship last night, a big game to come tonight, live on Talk Sport, Wolves versus Derby. Huey Fury joins us, the British heavyweight boxer. He's fighting for the British title against Sam Sexton shortly and, of course, took on Joseph Parker in his last fight and narrowly lost in many people's eyes. He could have won. So we'll get his thoughts on Parker Joshua and look ahead to his next fight and his route to a world title.
Yeah, and it was an interesting line there from... I've forgotten her name. That's ridiculous. Victoria. Sorry, Victoria.
Oh, yeah. How soon forgotten.
I know. I beg your pardon, Victoria. About the sports minister there and her approach to safe standing and saying, I don't want safe standing. I just want the rules enforced about sitting in your seat. You think, have you ever been to football?
Yeah.
It's quite depressing, isn't it? This person's in power that has this ability to affect this and really seems to know nothing about it whatsoever. It's quite staggering.
I think many of the clubs will say, okay, for the increased amount of stewarding to make everybody sit down in their seats. I mean, you know what happens.
It's not possible.
We all know what happens. A few stewards come over. If you go away and watch your team, and a few of them come over and go, sit down. They go, all right, mate. And no one sits down.
No.
And certainly the people in front of you don't sit down. So you feel, okay, I'd like to take that on board, mate. But if I sit down, I won't be able to see the game I've probably overpaid to watch.
No.
So that's what tends to happen.
It is, exactly. Well, because you've been to football.
Yeah.
So you know what happens. It doesn't sound like she's ever been, probably sat in the director's box or something like that. Great double for Jordan Tunnicliffe, though. It's filed, swept away the mighty Torquay.
Oh, leave him alone now. Kick a team while they're down.
Was, actually.
In case you've missed this, our producer, John Cadding, is a big Torquay fan and a podcast, a National Obsession podcast with Charlie Baker. New edition out tomorrow. Going strong.
Does he pay you to do this?
No, I just, it's very good. It's a good listen. But they're both big Torquay fans. And
you put an invoice in at the sales department.
We sat and watched the Chelsea-Barcelona game and our producer had enough. He could, a bit like last night when we all turned over and watched Roma.
Yeah.
He knew the game was up for Chelsea.
2-0, they were still in it.
Turned his chair around and started talking to other people in the company, as they say. And And Andy took exception to this and has just basically put a curse on, personal curse on Torquay ever since, really. And it hasn't got any better for them, so maybe it's kicked in.
Maybe
you're going to have to go and do a Barry Fry.
I don't
Have a Jimmy in each corner.
I'm only doing this for fun. I don't actually care what I'm talking, to be really honest.
You should do, because it affects the quality of this show. If he's lying, if he's sitting there in tears every day.
He's a bit like me, actually. Yeah. A robed monk.
They're going to be playing Wildston next season.
Are they?
Put that into perspective.
That's true.
Unless Wildston are going up. I've got no idea. I'm sure you've been keeping an eye on the conference, South, John. Yeah. Making sure. Yeah, anyway, carry on, Andy. Sorry.
A robed monk appeared to pull his...
A rogue monk?
A robed monk. They normally are.
Well, you wouldn't want to be a rogue monk, would you?
A robed monk. This is a story in The Sun today. Appears to pull a car 100 feet using his willy in footage filmed...
Pardon?
That's what it says here. Filmed in India. Why didn't he call the AA like everybody else?
Yeah, the fourth. Maybe he's the fourth emergency service. I got no idea. Yeah, maybe. And he was a rogue monk. I was right in the.
He was right in the first place.
He
was a robed
monk. Yeah. At one point, someone's going to say they'll be looking at the picture saying, "Oh, but is that blimey? I thought that was his belt. I thought that was the rope belt. I didn't. I had no idea." Wow, that puts it in a completely different light on the whole thing.
So, and the papers.
Is he coming in, by the way?
No, the robed monk. No, I don't think he is.
Okay. I once saw a monk skiing. That was a bit of a shock. A fully robed monk. No. Let's have things you've seen fully robed monks. No, that's not bother.
No, that's not,
it's going nowhere.
That's definitely not bother. What was I going to say here? Yeah, there's a story today about Rita Ora. It's fantastic.
My
executive producer Tom pointed this one out to me.
Yeah, what's she done?
It says, Rita Ora could have been mistaken for a New York cab in this yellow coat. Not really. She's a person wearing a yellow coat and not a car.
That's right.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It's brilliant. Can someone tell the papers she hasn't had an album out for 6 years?
5 years. You're getting a bit talking
about 6 years.
Oh, okay.
So wearing a yellow sleeveless coat is not a story.
Well,
not for me.
Well, you and our executive producer both homed in on it.
There's a health warning about tinned food. Tinned tuna could be damaging people's guts. It contains up to 100 times more zinc than is safe.
Thanks for bringing
scientists us. Also found that tinned chicken was the second most contaminated. Who eats tinned chicken?
I love my. If I want a bit of chicken, mate, I always turn to a tinned chicken.
Well, it's honestly.
Never mind all this fresh nonsense. I mean, how difficult is it to get? Yeah. Quite cheaply, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want, you know, if you just want chicken, even if
it's
you
not
want
that
it,
expensive,
if you want it pumped full of water, you can pick it up very cheaply. You know, probably more. Grief to open it in the tin.
That'd be harder. And 2,640 people have been given permission to stand outside the church for the royal wedding, which I don't get. It's like standing outside Wembley during the cup final. What's the point? It's ridiculous.
Isn't it relayed to you over a PA system?
Well, okay.
Is it on the big screens?
You can stand outside Wembley and listen to it on Talk Sport. It's not the same as being there, is it?
Isn't it on the big screens? Well, not everybody can get in the church, can they? Get in the chapel. This is the thing.
But, you know.
A lot of their guests, they'll go... I wonder if I was thinking, if Theresa May, will she get an invite to the evening? Barack Obama. Imagine you get an invite.
The pay bar.
If it turns up and, so you've got Barack Obama and Michelle sitting there going, shall we go? It's a long way just for the evening, isn't it? I mean, well, it would be nice to go, but you know what will happen? We'll turn up 10:30.
Everyone will be hammered.
And then it suddenly, the couple of grand he's put behind the bar is gone. And I'm that first round that comes in. I'll say, what do you all want to drink? I just think I'm going up there to save them a walk to the bar. Next thing, I've got about 50 quid round.
It's no good, is
this
it?
This is the sort of thing they're talking about.
Well, that's probably in the Obama household. They probably are discussing that. Yeah. And a wonderful posh waste of ink concerning Jimmy Hill and Coventry from Robert Hudson in Warwick. He wrote to the Times with this. Sir, in the happy days of Jimmy Hill's Sky Blue Revolution at Coventry City, we translated his club song into Latin under the supervision of our classics master, Ted Norrish. It was a cause of general mystification when our school's habitual patch on the terraces of Highfield Road resounded with the words, Cantimus omnes laudate carule. Let's all sing together, play up Sky Blues.
Yeah.
That's an incredibly posh waste of ink.
That wasn't in the Star, was it?
No, definitely.
Do you see what they've been doing at the Nou Camp? Maybe they've got better things to do.
Oh, yeah.
But they had this guy called Jeff Toussaint, who's a hypnotist. And he came in and he put three supporters under his spell, we're told today, by the Sun. Hmm. And then they brought in Felipe Coutinho, Ivan Rakitic and Paulinho. They brought him into the room. And not one of the fans had any idea who they were, because they'd been hypnotised by Jeff
Toussaint.
I hope
they're still hypnotised. They probably didn't realise the team had lost last
year.
I don't know who that was who lost 3-0 to Roma.
One of them probably said to Coutinho, I bet you still wish you were at Liverpool, don't you? How's that panning out for you?
Yeah, a lot of people have made that point, haven't they? It seems a bit unfair. This is interesting as well. The Meghan Markle lookalike, she's making a lot of money.
Getting plenty of work.
Plenty of work.
Yeah. Does she look like
A firm of bookmakers have employed her to ponder the odds on Princess Kate giving birth to her third child on Saturday, which is Grand National Day. But, I mean, what's the point? Mm. I don't get that at all.
Would you like to suddenly look like someone famous? I'm not infamous. I mean, at your age, it's unlikely anybody's going to come
Alan
along.
Alan Dershowitz, a man who I have been compared to, is in the news.
The former lawyer who was OJ's lawyer, wasn't he?
It was OJ's lawyer. Now he could be Trump's lawyer. He had a meeting with Trump last night and people aren't happy about it.
I think... do you still look like him? I mean, then you had sort of mad hair and glasses very similar to him.
Yes, I don't think I look like him now. Unless he's gone bald and he's got a big bushy beard.
But it must be quite difficult. If someone kind of becomes sort of famous along the way and you resemble them, that's one thing. But if someone achieves kind of fame or infamy for something, often something quite terrible, and then you suddenly look like them. That must be quite difficult to deal with.
That would be difficult.
Unless if it's a Meghan Markle one, then you're quids in, of course.
Of course.
You know, how much money, when she was in Suits, unless you're having a Suits-themed party, how much would the Meghan Markle lookalike have gone out for?
Now she's
probably
laughing.
Holidaying in the Caribbean, I would think.
That's very true. No question about it. And Alexa.
Bailed it.
You see, Alexa, the Amazon sort of, quite a few companies have got these things. You know,
yeah, I'm with you.
But apparently, they're developing technology now where it may start eavesdropping what you're actually saying. And then without saying, oh, Alexa, who's your favourite footballer or whatever, you know, that sort of thing, it's going to start joining in and suggesting things. How annoying would that be?
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. Becomes part of the family.
It's quite, you know, you know, somebody telling.
Well, I'll do the show with Alexa if you're ever on holiday. Fantastic.
Probably better. And
that's it, is it?
No, I haven't finished. I've still got more.
Okay, go on then.
It's amazing that people in this day and age make this sort of mistake.
Oh, yeah.
A commentator at a radio station has been banned from his local club after making sexist remarks to a female
referee.
Football referee. Mm. Chorley FM's Ian Livesey reportedly shouted, "You should be at home doing the ironing, love."
Yeah.
Just honestly, what makes you do that when you, in this day and age, you're never going to get away with that, are you?
No.
So anyway,
you're certainly
not being disciplined by the club.
Is that it? Are you done now?
Well, I can be if you've had enough.
I've gone one more then.
No,
one more. Press the red button on your handsets
didn't
now.
Know the way you
sighed. No, no, that's all right. No, it's fine. If you've got, this could be the one. This could be the one that we all look back on and say, "That was a great moment."
No, that was the end.
I don't want to. Yeah, no, that was a great moment. What is it?
No, I'm not going to do.
Go on, just one more.
One more.
Go on then. This could be it—the one that we all turn back. Seminal watershed moment for this show.
No, it's only me being bitter. They've listed how much money these reality stars are worth and how much they've made.
Oh, yeah.
And Joey Essex has accumulated £6 million.
What about that?
She's not bad, is it? And Gemma Collins, £2.7 million. It's quite remarkable, really.
You think they're talking those figures up a little bit?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's checkable or not.
I've just got the feeling that Gemma Collins could possibly have said once, "Don't get out of bed for less than 10 grand."
You reckon?
Yeah, I think though that phrase has possibly passed her lips. Tell him I don't get out of bed for less than 10 grand. Much like yourself, Andy.
Yes, no. I actually tried to book a famous cricketer. I won't. I'll spare his blushes.
Yeah.
Chris Foy. I'll spare his blushes.
Yeah.
And basically, he did say that to me. He said, "I don't get out of bed for less than 10 grand."
Really?
Yeah.
Well, literally, the 10 grand with a figure.
Yeah.
I don't get out of bed for 10 grand.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell. You've never told me that story.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's true.
Tell me that cricket award.
Well, it might have been a grand. I might be exaggerating. Don't
get out of bed for less than 8 pence. Yeah. Well, nor do I, mate. Nor does anybody. It's also been Jacobs here on TalkSport. It wasn't quite. It was better than the last one you did, the Chorley FM one, but it was good. It was good. It took us somewhere. Mick McCarthy joins us shortly. He's having his second helping of Mick on the TalkSport today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really interested to know what he's going to get up to. All he told Jim earlier on was he's going to have a break. He's going to go on holiday. But I think, he's got this bit of gardening leave. He's probably on full pay. He's got a couple of months. What's he going to get up to?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport now. Last night, Mick McCarthy walked away from... he was going to leave at the end of the season anyway, but...
Well, I think he was going to leave anyway, because according to him, he chatted over the weekend and he was going to leave. It was a bit of a flounce, really.
He had a flounce, didn't he? Flounce. But, a lot of people would say, the amount of grief he's got from some of the Ipswich fans, he had a right to flounce.
And they were 12. They could, they've got no budget or anything, so they're not doing a bad job.
Well, he's got a bit of a break now. Mm. And he was on with Jim a little bit earlier on, and he said, "I'm just going to have a holiday." But I thought, I don't know, I sensed... a bit of sort of wanderlust there in Mick, that he's maybe got other plans that Jim didn't eke out of him. So we've got him back to try and find out a little bit more about what he plans to do with this this little bit of time off before he definitely gets another job in football. Good afternoon, Mick.
Flounce? Did you say flounce?
Well, it was a bit of a flounce,
Mick?
Mick,
wasn't it?
Listen, I've got your number, Jacobs. You use that word in front of me, flounce, and I'll wipe that beard right off your face.
Listen,
let me tell you, I don't know who that imposter was that was with Jim White this morning. Probably that doctor you've got working for you, who only does two impressions. One of them's Trevor Francis, the other one's me, and no one cares. So it was probably him. I don't want to get straight back into the management. I want to take a year out. I fancy going, backpacking through Southeast Asia, never got a chance in my student days. Fancy recording a few of the power ballads I've written with the London Philharmonic, finish work on my autobiography, which I think I'll call Sackcloth and Ashes.
Well, I like the sound of your album, Mick. Have you given any thought? What's kind of power ballads? Are these in the kind of rock genre? Is this what you're thinking?
Well, power ballads covers a whole multitude of sins, doesn't it, really?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It'll basically be, wants to tug at the heartstrings for all the Ipswich Town fans who I appear to have got on the wrong side of. The past few years. I'm also going to go on one of those courses for how to make substitutions that don't send supporters do lally when you meet them.
Wow.
That sounds
well, I'm looking forward to your Total Eclipse of the Heart. I mean, you're looking to maybe do some of these live as well.
I've got mates who can, put a band together, as they say, to, take it out on the road. My away record's pretty good as it stands over the years, so I think I'll travel well.
Oh, we certainly look forward to that, Mick. Or should I say, dance. Good afternoon, Dan.
You rumbled me.
Yeah.
I don't know how you manage that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We end today reflecting on an incredible result in Rome last night, like an awful lot of people, I'm sure, on the 56th minute when Salah scored the equaliser for Liverpool. I thought, wonder what's going on in the Roma-Barca game, the mass switchover. And, well, it paid out. Those that did decide to cross over. It was an incredible match. Peter Drury was commentating. This is him for the decisive goal and indeed the final whistle.
And they're tied! Roma have risen from their ruins! Manolas, the Greek god in Rome! The unthinkable unfolds before our eyes! Phenomenal! Beyond reason! Beyond Roman reality! And in the end, beyond even Barcelona! Who fall? Barcelona fall! Messi falls! Disbelieving! How did that just happen?
Here we are.
Oh dear, what a pity.
Bit of schadenfreude.
Chelsea fans would say.
Bit of schadenfreude there for Barcelona. Great work there by Peter
Roma
Drury.
Has risen from their ruins. It's top work.
Chris Summers alongside him. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'd say you're about 56 minutes in. You and Chris got a whole lot more company than than you'd had before.
I know. I have to say that at the start of the evening, really ahead of the whole trip, I thought this would be a nice quiet one. Everyone's watching City-Liverpool. And truthfully, like everybody else, I didn't even conceive of the idea that anything would happen other than Barcelona would win 2-1 and we'd all go home and get on with the semi-finals. Mm. But that's the way it works out sometimes. And it was just bedlam. And it was great, great fun.
I think the signs were there, though. You know, Barcelona were poor against Chelsea. I thought they were lucky to go through, really. And Roma were brilliant against Chelsea. So, you know, if you could sort of read the form, there was always a possibility.
Well, there was. And actually, even based on the first leg, there was a kind of a possibility because, again, I quite understand that the very great majority of people would have been watching City-Liverpool's first leg, as indeed I would have been if I was sitting at home. But despite winning 4-1 in the Nou Camp, Barcelona last week weren't very good at all. You know, if Barcelona 3-0 up via two own goals and a tap-in from a centre-half, and that kind of summed it up. They were in no sense stellar in the way we expect them to. And actually, a word for the guys who sort of co-commentate with me. I had Jermaine Genius with me last week and Chris Sutton last night. I think we would all say that it's very easy just to be seduced by the perception of Barcelona. And it takes a bit of sort of editorial guts after 20, 25 minutes. And both the guys did it in the first and second leg to sort of observe, do you know what? Barcelona aren't actually very good. And on neither occasion were they very good. And my goodness me, by the end, they certainly had their tails between their legs.
Was it a mood of hope at the beginning? Did you sense that the Roma fans felt they had any chance?
Well, I mean, it was a massive party night. And that Olympic Stadium, I've been lucky enough to work in a few times. When it doesn't believe and when it's quiet and when it's a horrid little UEFA Cup tie as of old or Europa League tie can be a sort of great, cavernous, empty, horrid place to be. But last night, it was absolutely full. It was sort of determined to enjoy itself, whatever. And then when it got itself an early goal, it just started jumping up and down. You guys have been to enough football matches to know that you can you know something's on when genuinely you are vibrating in your seat. And it was one of those nights. It was astonishing, actually. It was just so lucky to have been there.
Momentum was amazing. But at the end, we did fear that Barcelona might just nick a goal.
You could just see them nicking the goal.
Such an anticlimax, but they didn't. So fair enough.
No, absolutely. And I think everybody was thinking the same thing. Of course, we come at it, as we always should, but particularly when it's two foreign teams, from a point of absolute neutrality. But I can't pretend that once Roma had got level or ahead on away goals, I wasn't thinking, no Barcelona goal now. Unless, I guess the only sort of great story out of that would have been Messi dancing around 13 of them and sort of planting one in the top corner, which would have been in itself a glorious moment. But walking out of the stadium last night made you feel even then that it was meant to be, because the only thing I can compare it with was walking out of a stadium anywhere in the world where the host nation has just won in a major tournament, you know, with the flags waving and the horns blaring and people just dancing up and down and singing their songs so happily. I don't speak Italian. I could work out that a few of the songs were at the expense of Lazio and weren't entirely complimentary, but for the most part, they were just deriving fantastic joy from the sensational performance of their own team.
Now, slightly less impartial than you in the commentary box was the Roma commentator, Carlo Zampa. I don't know, he's gone viral today, Peter. I don't know if you've had a chance to hear this today because you're still there, but let's just get... we've heard your reaction, very eloquent it was too, to the Manolas winner. This was Carlo's.
A battere. Parte Under, eccolo il cross.
Yes, or that's just a goal. You get so carried away.
Well, I think if England won the World Cup,
I aspire to.
Yeah, yeah. He was clearly very excited. What were the kind of Spanish and Catalan commentators about? Imagine we saw the press box go up. We saw pictures from the press box today. Someone tweeted some pictures out. So I imagine that they were broken men, weren't they? Some of your colleagues from Spain.
Absolutely, and you're right to observe that neutrality is a pretty redundant word in all of these things, because everybody has feelings at a time like that. But yeah, I mean, the Catalan press, I really haven't seen anything today. And truthfully, the whole reaction has gone rather over my head. I've been visiting the Colosseum and things like that today. But the media reaction in Barcelona will be absolutely horrific. And yeah, I did see one or two of the Italian commentators as well. And they were, as we've just heard, going utterly berserk. And why wouldn't they? I mean, it's just a fantastic moment for them.
So where does it rank, Peter? The amount of games you've done over the years, as I was saying earlier on, you probably think you've seen it all. Is it up there with one of your kind of favourite moments as
well, a commentator? Well, it is because it was so unexpected. And it's so... I don't say this out of sort of professional self-protection, but sometimes when you're lucky enough to get a moment like that, And mercifully last night, some words came to me. Occasionally, people say scripted. And I can honestly say, and perhaps this is unprofessional of me, I was utterly, utterly unprepared for Roma turning that round. Sure. And so the fact that they did took me joyfully by surprise. And the fact that it appears to have gone okay does thrill me, actually, because it was excuse me, that's the announcement telling me to get off my bus.
Okay, we better let you go.
Peter, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
It was right up there. It was right up there for me.
Good stuff. All the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Really nice to talk to you, fellas. All the best.
There
Take
we
care.
Are. Bye-bye. Peter Drury, well-earned sightseeing after his work last night in the stadium.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And it's nice, isn't it? Peter's got to do the commentary. He's had a little day sightseeing.
Wow, that's...
What a nice touch.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Brilliant. Okay, so we will catch up with you tomorrow. As we said, we'll squeeze in a one-size-fits-all. We're at Aintree. Nikki from the Manic Street Preachers will be here, so lots going on. Until then, have a good evening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.